Dr. Dre, man, do what you do, man.
Blog Talk Radio.
Where's that music, man?
Crank this up, Rob. I never get sick of that, man. Eventually, I'm going to ask some other things. But, of course, that's what we do, man. That's what we do today. Back in our familiar time slot, it is Tuesday, August the 27th. And, of course, you are talking sports with the 12th man. Joined by your host, I am Andre Peterson, my co-host and partner, my bro, Robert Ford. And, of course, we are ready to get ready to talk some sports on this fantastic Tuesday night. But without further ado, you know, we're ready to go. They're not cutting us, man. We're not going to see the Turk coming, man. We're going to be in it for the long haul. I got to always check in with my co-host, Rob Ford. How are you doing, sir?
Man, making it do what it do, man. Ready to talk some sports and get this show on the road, Doc.
It's funny. I'm like, hi, what's up? What's up? Rob's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. But this is what we do. We got a lot of topics to discuss, and we always want to throw out a couple numbers if you want to call in and tell us your feedback. That is what it is all about. The number to call into for any of our guests, toll free, it's 424-243-9519. We're also in the social media world, so you can follow us via Twitter. We are at the number 12, THMAN Sports, as well as on Facebook. You do facebook.com/12thmansports. You can also find us if you put in Talking Sports with 12 Men. And that is what is going on. So, Rob, man, let's get this party started. I know we are very excited because we're about to kick off college football. We're going to talk about that. As we mentioned, the Turk is coming,
Tigers,
so we're trying to avoid. Oh, yeah, that's what it's all about. Got some NFL news to discuss. And I guess let's kind of kick it off. And then also, real quick, I do want to make a quick point, Rob, if that's okay. We can kind of talk about our fantasy sports league because – we definitely want to just give a lot of love for our listeners. I want to thank you because we had so much of a great response that we had to open up a secondary league. I know we got about 7 people already in that, and obviously we got about 12 slots. So if you want to join us, we got another league for fantasy football. I don't know if you want to talk about that real quick, Rob, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We still have about 5 open spots left in our second league, and we would love for you all to join us and fill those spots up. We're going to have that draft on Wednesday of next week. That will be a night before the actual season kicks off. So we got about a week, and these spots are going to go fast. So for those of you all who are interested in joining our second fantasy football league, we have about 5 spots left in this one. We already filled up one league, and we're looking to fill up number 2. And once again, we have 5 spots. So please email us, message us on Facebook, send us your email addresses so we can invite you to our league, and we'll have some fun kicking your tails in fantasy football this year.
Yeah. Can you beat the host? That's what it's all about. And if you want to send us a message, as Rob has mentioned, just go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Find us on the page, and just send us a quick message. We'll get you get that invite out to you. So here we go. Let's kind of kick it off. I really appreciate this, Rob, because some way, somehow, I try to incorporate Tim Tebow into the show, only because it's just fun. But
he always makes it on our show. I just don't get
not because I'm trying. It's just funny. But we actually have a nice little start. I mean, is he going to remain in the NFL? I mean, this is kind of a situation where he survived the first wave. If you're following ESPN headlines, you got the obligatory owner saying, hey, I'm a fan of Tebow, but the decision is on Belichick. What are your thoughts, sir? I'm not going to be surprised about this, but what are your thoughts? Is he going to continue making it in the NFL, sir?
Well, I think he's going to get cut on the next go-around. I really do. And, you know, your heart goes out to him. He's such a great kid, of course. But, mm-hmm. You know, in actual reality, he's just not an NFL quarterback. And I really believe he should try the Canadian Football League. and I think he could possibly have some success in that league as well. And so that's just my call. I don't think he's going to make it in the NFL. And I think the Canadian football could be where, you know, he can find his niche and still get to play football for many years to come and still have an impact on other people's lives in Canada as well.
Now, question for you, Rob. So back in the day, you know, whenever he's playing for Denver, I mean, was that just kind of like, was he just kind of like lightning in the bottle that he caught? I mean, he actually looked pretty decent. I mean, I know practices probably weren't that best, but he was able to win. I mean, what happened between now and what's been going on, in for the past couple of years here?
Have you gone back and looked at his stats from that season with the Denver Broncos?
He won games.
I mean, I'm not trying to belittle him or anything like that. And but you got to go back and look at that too. That was still a Denver Bronco team that went 8-8 that year. And if they had any kind of success at the quarterback position that year, they could have been 11-5, 12-14. And they had a strong running game. They had a strong defense, and they had a quarterback who didn't wake up until maybe in the fourth quarter in a lot of games. And so, I mean, you go back and look at those stats that year, they were atrocious. And like I said, he's a great kid, just not necessarily a great NFL quarterback. And shucks, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there are a lot of people on this planet who can't play in the NFL. So, you know, but those stats just was not NFL caliber quarterback. John Elway knew it. Even after that year, he knew if they had to take the next step, they were going to have to do something, and that's why they went out in all-out sales pitch and got Peyton Manning. And you see the very next year that Broncos team was 13-3 with a legitimate quarterback. Even though they got upset in the playoffs, you saw what that Bronco team was missing.
And I appreciate that, Rob. I know sometimes I give you a hard time. I like to mess with you. So I was just literally trying to, you know, do some banter with that, you know, as far as what's going on with Tim Tebow, because, you know, we knew that you were going to provide some stats and kind of back it up too, so. That's what it's all about. He got a little lucky there. Just like you talked about, 8-8, they eked into the playoffs. He did his magic, but ultimately, as we know, a better quarterback, and even wise, like you mentioned, that John Elway reached out to Peyton Manning to get him on because he knew what was going on with that too. So moving right along, let's kind of keep it going. And we are still going to be in the NFL. A lot of things going on. Obviously excited because Madden 25 is coming out. You know, it's a lot of awesome things here. I just had to throw that out there. But let's talk about this real quick, Rob. The New York Jets, man, it almost feels like it's kind of a bad story here, sir. Rex Ryan, basically, we asked, did he do the right thing by putting Mark Sanchez in the game in the fourth quarter? Obviously, if you didn't know what happened, Sanchez gets hurt. And Rex Ryan had a very interesting quote talking about we were trying to win the game. So this is a two-part question, not only for you, Rob, but kind of our listeners, in that, number one, Rex Ryan, we're trying to win the game. Are preseason games meaningless? That's the question. And then also, I think this pretty much cost Rex Ryan his job. So I'm thinking dead coach walking here, Rob. I'll get your feedback on this. It was a very, very dumb decision, if you ask me. But I'll defer and kind of wait and see what you have to say about this.
I absolutely agree. I think it was a dumb decision on Rex Ryan's part. And obviously, I think Geno Smith is the future for the New York Jets, but he's not the now. He's not the present. If you look at the preseason games, Geno Smith should not be the starter from week one for the Jets this year. He's not ready. So, and even though Sanchez is not great, he still, in my opinion, should be the opening day starting quarterback if he's healthy for the New York Jets. And to put your guy who's probably should be your opening day starting quarterback in the fourth quarter in a preseason game, which I'm not going to say preseason is meaningless, but it's meaningless for some veterans. And but, you know, a lot of people win and lose jobs in the preseason, so to say it's meaningless would be unfair to those people that are fighting for jobs in the league. So I'm not going to say it's meaningless. And I still think you play to win the game, whether it's preseason, whether it's, you know, backyard football, you know, you name it, you play to win the game. Hello?
I knew that was coming.
You don't play to just play it. And but anyway, you play to win the game, whether it's preseason. Obviously, you know, you want to come out of the game healthy as much as possible and get prepared to win in the regular season, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl, which is more important. But I think any time you go out there in the field, regardless if you're playing with a second or third string quarterback, you want to win the game, give your team some kind of confidence too.
Yeah, I mean,
but I wouldn't,
you know,
put my starting quarterback in the game in the fourth quarter of the preseason. You try to win the game with your second or third string guy.
Yeah, that's the thing too, Rob. I mean, I agree with you in that. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely trying to win the game. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's not like I'm trying to figure out the right word to say this, because it's a situation where, like you talked about, you know, if you have a starting quarterback, yeah, I mean, at this juncture, don't put him in that situation. And then number two, I mean, maybe you were upset with Geno Smith. I mean, he threw three interceptions. I mean, this is what the preseason is for him to learn, to get better. As you mentioned, maybe he's not the quarterback for the now, quarterback for the future. But in this instance, just a lot of questionable decisions from Rex Ryan. I think that I'm kind of curious as opposed to who's making those calls. You know, the GM, because they haven't been hitting at all, Robin. Just the Jets, you're talking about a team that was pretty solid. Looks like a team that's total and just disarray right now. I mean, defensively, they were one of the top teams. And then it seems like Rex Ryan has come in there and just kind of just added a wrecking ball to that squad. So, you know, very disappointed.
Absolutely.
And we're sorry to pick out, but it's just, you know, very, very questionable calls. And as mentioned, just it's very baffling as far as what's going on within the Jets organization.
Yeah, it's an atrocious situation right now for the New York Jets. Handled very poorly by both the general managers, front office, head coach, offensive coordinator, you name it, on down for the New York Jets. And this looked like they're in for a very, very bad season. And
wow.
And I would be shocked if they're not picking in the top five of the draft next year.
In the Jadeveon Clowney sweepstakes. Let's keep it going, Rob. We're still kind of on the NFL. And you
got
made
some
a great
good quarterbacks
point earlier.
In that draft next year too. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be in the top five.
Oh man, yeah, we got. We're going to talk about that too. You know, we got a lot of that. Taj Boyd, AJ McCarron. You know, you got a lot of options too. Got a lot of opportunities. Let's talk about this real quick though. I think that this is pretty great. You talked about. I love it. You play to win the game. Let's talk about the most memorable head coach rants in the NFL, obviously. Are you going to co-sign with Herm Edwards in that? Do you play to win the game, Rob? Is that where you're going to go, or what are you thinking as far as that? And we gotta post that, too, as far as that, too. But go ahead, sir.
Well, I definitely think the Herm Edwards rant is honorable mention. But I still think the most memorable rant is Jim Mora with the playoffs rant. I think, you know, the playoffs rant, to me, is still the most memorable. And, you know, the reporter asked him, do you still think we have a chance to win the get to the playoffs, coach?
Playoffs?
And we know the rest.
Playoffs? Playoffs? We're talking about
I don't
playoffs?
Think we can win the game here. Talking about playoffs.
To me, that's still the most memorable one.
That's still the most memorable. You know, I think Herm Edwards is honorable mention. I think Mike Singletary is honorable mention as well. Yeah, you know, Mike Singletary, I think, was I want winners. You know, if I had to go out there with 10 guys instead of 11, I want winners. Well, Dennis Green, too, is very memorable, too.
Dennis Green's up there, yeah. There's a couple of them. Like I said, we definitely want to get your post as far as that. So I think I'm going to post this afterwards talking about some of our top NFL coaching rants. You got to go back to Bill Parcells. Made a lot of great, you know, a lot of great quotes. You know, especially whenever he's talking about Terry Glenn calling her she and whatnot. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of things. You can even go back to, I'm a man, you know, even college-wise, man. So but I know we were talking NFL right now, but it's just, you know, a lot of great quotes in there, execution for the offense. I mean, it's just great. But like you talked about, I would agree with you wholeheartedly, 100% the one Jim Mora playoffs, that is almost timeless. You can say that no matter what. You elicit great responses from that too, sir.
Absolutely.
Let's throw out some numbers real quick. We are 50 minutes into the show. We always want to give our listeners an opportunity to give us your feedback, your thoughts. 424-243-9519 is the number to call into the show. We are also live via Twitter. You can hit us up at 12man sports, and we're also on Facebook too, so we always want to throw those out there. We're moving right along, sir, and as we switch gears slightly, let's talk about a very, very interesting subject as far as the Heisman. And the question we wanted to ask was, who will win the Heisman? We know it's not going to be Johnny Football. He may not even be playing for Texas A&M, but it's interesting, Rob, because there's a couple of different things I'm going to throw out there to you. Because first and foremost, you know, last year we were at this time, you know, we thought Geno Smith was going to be runaway. You know, he was doing great. Then some things happened. You know, obviously, you know, there's a situation where we thought Andrew Luck was going to, you know, kill it. And then Robert Griffin III came out of nowhere. And it's just interesting how this plays out. I got to ask you, sir, does Jadeveon Clowney have opportunity? I'm getting a little excited here. Does he have opportunity to win as a defensive player, or does he not touch the ball enough? Or, you know, are we looking at one of these quarterbacks you mentioned earlier from the Teddy Bridgewaters, you know, Braxton Miller, Taj Boyd, Aaron Murray? Let's throw that out there, sir, to you, Rob.
Well, I think Jadeveon Clowney is certainly the best football player in the country in college football, but I don't see them giving the Heisman to a defensive end unless he just goes out and have about 30 sacks this year. Or maybe even 20 sacks, he'll get consideration. And so he's going to have a monster year. But he's definitely the surefire number one pick in the NFL draft coming up here in 2014. And I'm going to go with somebody underrated just because he's on the elite team. And I'm going to bring up somebody like A.J. McCarron. I think, this is going to be his third year starting. I think he'll have a shot at the Heisman. I think the running back for Alabama, T.J. Yeldon. I think he could be an underrated sleeper in this. I don't see Mansell repeating. I think just too much going on distractions wise with that. So I don't see him repeating as the Heisman winner. But I like some of the names that you mentioned: Bridgewater, Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins. I like some of those names right there. I'll even throw in Todd Gurley, running back for Georgia. I think he's in consideration this year as well. I think he's got a strong chance. But I'm going to say A.J. McCarron is going to be my early favorite to win it.
Wow. It definitely sounds like it's going to be a quarterback in this juncture. I really hope I like Teddy Bridgewater. I just think he's got a lot of capabilities. You know, I like his game. You know, Taj Boyd came back from Clemson just to do some things with Clemson. So you have to wonder if how he plays. Like I said, we're definitely at a point in that, you know, things can happen. A player can get hot just at the right moment. As you talked about, I for sure love what you're talking about with, T.J. Yeldon. I think he can have a monster year now that Eddie Lacy has moved on to the NFL, to the Green Bay Packers. You know, what about a Marquise Lee, the wide receiver from USC? Is he even a contender?
That's a good one.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple.
That's a good call. I think talent-wise, he's definitely one of the better receivers in the country, so it's definitely a great call.
Last one I have, this is a very, very underrated guy. So if you know this guy, Marcus Mariota, the quarterback from Oregon. What do you think? Is Oregon going to keep going in that fast-paced offense? You think he even has a shot to – as far as playing in the Pac-12, or they're showing some love to our West Coast listeners?
Absolutely. You're going to see Oregon having one of the most potent offenses in the country. And he's actually an elite NFL prospect as well. So I think that's a great call as well. I think you should definitely mention him in the Heisman race.
We are having some fun here. This is what we do every Tuesday. We kind of had some different nights, but we try to be consistently every Tuesday talking sports with 12 men. Let's throw out, I know we're excited about this, Rob, so I don't know if you want to talk about the 10 toughest college football schedules, or you want to kind of talk about some top 25 matchups. I'm excited because I want to get all of this in before the show, so I'll let you move forward, and we'll kind of pick the next topic, and we'll keep it moving, as they say.
Oh, yeah, I think it's great. Either one you want to move forward with, I'm ready with either one.
Let's talk about the top 25 matchup predictions this weekend, because I figured folks wanted to hear that. We have a lot of big games. we're going to talk about, we're going to kick it off, sir. A couple of them here that I think, and we'll get to your LSU and TCU. But let's start off with number 5 Georgia at number 8 Clemson. Now, we're here in Georgia, Rob. I know you're in Louisiana, but right now, earlier a couple of months ago, everyone was talking about how Georgia's going to mop the floor with Clemson. Now it doesn't seem to be that type of arrogance or confidence, Rob. It's kind of a little nervousness because we know what happened last year, Boise State. It didn't affect them. You know, obviously Georgia's still able to play in the championship game, but, you know, it's not going to be an easy game for Georgia. But do you think they're able to pull this off, or, you know, I think it's going to be closer than what we think because of the environment at Clemson. I think Clemson's going to be ready. What do you think about this particular game, sir?
I tell you what, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners in the Atlanta area that are not going to like my prediction here, but I like Clemson at home in this game, in a real close game. And I think Taj Boyd and Sammy Watkins are a real deal, and I think Georgia's a heck of a football team this year, I really do. Aaron Murray, Todd Gurley. But I think if this game was on a neutral field, I would pick Georgia. But at Clemson and Death Valley, I think Clemson's got enough weapons to win this game at home. I think it's going to be a close one. I think Clemson wins this game by about 3 to 5 points.
Wow, that's impressive. Let's talk about another interesting game here, Alabama at Virginia Tech. This is a pretty big one. This is on Saturday, Rob. I mean, obviously, I just bring this up because, you know, Alabama, you know, they seem pretty focused. You think it's going to be like they're going to win by 40 points here? What do you think is going to happen with this one?
Well, I think Virginia Tech is going to be better than what I know they're preseason unranked, but I think they're going to be better than that by season's end. I think they got enough talent on this football team to have a really good year, but I don't see them beating Alabama. I don't think Alabama's going to beat them by 40 points, but I can see it. About a 2-touchdown victory for Alabama in this game. I'm thinking something like 34-20. I think, like I said, I think Virginia Tech is better than what the most experts are giving them credit for this year. I like them to have I think Logan Thomas is going to have a bounce-back year, quarterback for Virginia Tech as well. He's got too much talent, just had a bad year last year, and I think he'll bounce back. But I think Alabama will still win this game.
I like it. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. Let's talk about talking about it too much longer. Let's show some love here. Pretty big game for you guys, number 12 LSU, playing number 20 TCU. What do you think about this? Obviously, it seems like LSU players have a lot to prove. Maybe not so much for Les Miles in his vantage point.
Well, you know, it's TCU. Gary Patterson, I think, is one of the better head football coaches in college football. I think his teams always overachieve and does well. So it's definitely a team that if you're LSU, you cannot take lightly. And this team will be ready to play. I still like LSU to come out and win this game. I'm looking at about a 10 to 14 point victory for LSU in this game. I think LSU offensively is going to be a lot better this year. Cam Cameron taking over the offense is going to, I think, improve that offense tremendously this year. But I think TCU will fight. But in the end, LSU will be a little bit too strong and too deep talent-wise for TCU.
Any other intriguing matchups? I mean, let's talk real quick. Obviously, Johnny Manziel has been in the news. Do you think he's going to play this Saturday? And also, you know, obviously, they're playing at Rice. It's not like it's a big, big challenge. I don't think they're going to have any problems, no matter who their quarterback is, but there's some opportunities where it may be a different quarterback, so the second-stream guy. So what do you think about, you know, the chances here as we talk about Texas A&M? And the whole saga with Johnny Football, 6 hours apparently. He's been hanging out with the NCAA as far as his signing autographs, if you will.
Well, I think he's definitely going to play. These things take a lot longer to process. If you recall the year Auburn won a national championship, there were a lot of questions about Cam Newton's availability and should he be playing. But it just wasn't enough evidence to say that he can't play. And I think it's the same in this situation. There's no evidence out there. If there, you know, is, it's going to take a while for it to come out. And so I think he still plays and will probably play this entire season.
Very, very interesting. Are there any other types of matches that you want to kind of highlight, sir, as we move along here? Anything that you want to kind of, like I said, we've hit the major ones. But before I talk about that and fill out the numbers one more time as we get ready to wrap up and talk about the OT portion of the show, we got about 4.5 minutes to go. But are there any of the matchups you want to highlight before we get talking about our toughest schedules here in, for college football?
Well, the only other one that was kind of intriguing to me is the game on Thursday night this week, North Carolina against South Carolina. And North Carolina is one of these teams, I think, with, you know, Renner at the quarterback position, I think is better than their ranking as well. They're unranked, but I think this team could be a sleeper team. I still like South Carolina to pull it out. Don't get me wrong. I think they can win this game about 7 to 10 points. But I think North Carolina makes this game tougher than what most people think.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of information that we're trying to get as far as, you know, what's going on with Jadeveon Clowney, what's going on. Are they going to run away from him like we talked about? This guy is number one continent player. I'm kind of curious to see how he comes out in this game, Rob. Is he going to take over? You know, can he take over? Because this is going to be interesting like we talked about from a Heisman Trophy perspective, because obviously if you're a quarterback, you get more opportunity to make plays. But we'll see how that plays out for sure. And I do like what you talked about, North Carolina. It's definitely an interesting team. You got a good coach. Lift Larry Fedora, like you mentioned, right? That's coaching for North Carolina. He's doing his thing, grabbing players, all that fun stuff. So we'll see how it evolves. I like that particular mention on your side. Let's throw out the numbers one more time as we get ready to head into the OT portion of the show. For those that want to call in one more time, you've got us. It's the number to call into the show. Obviously, it's a 424-243-9519. And please don't forget to definitely let us know if you know your thoughts about the show. Give us those rankings of the top rants, if you will, for the head coaches. I think number one is still always going to be playoffs from Jim Mora. But I like the honorable mention with Herm Edwards. You played to win the game. Those are pretty memorable, as well as Dennis Green. And I think there's some quotes from Bill Parcells to their always honorable mention as well. But don't forget, I'm going to highlight some things for the show, Rob. Don't forget, we have our fantasy football draft league, that we have that open. They had to open up a brand new league for that. So if you want to sign up for that, send us your emails, message us, and we'll get you signed up for that. As Rob mentioned, we're going to have the draft next week, Wednesday, right before the season gets started, so we can definitely have some fun with that. Mr. Rob, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. If you can kind of set up the OT portion, let's get this party started.
Well, we certainly appreciate you all tuning into the show tonight. Thanks to you all, and continue your loyalty to listening to our show. Join us next week on Tuesday night, same time, same channel, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Pacific. And for our friends in Hawaii, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on next Tuesday night. We'll be continuing previewing college football week 2 next week and recapping week 1. And then we'll also preview some key games in the week 1 NFL season next week. So right now we're kind of in football mode pretty much throughout. So you don't want to miss it on next week as we talk about some college and NFL. For those of you all that can tune into our OT portion, of course that won't be live tonight. But tomorrow, if you're on your lunch breaks or anything like that, you can tune into the same link and you can listen to our OT portion of our show. We're going to be talking about 10 teams that are going to have a tough schedule in college football, and can they overcome them, that schedule for this upcoming season. That's going to be our main topic in our OT portion on tonight.
That is what it's all about. I want to show a lot of love for you. I want to thank you for listening, because we know we have a lot of you that listen via the archive show, so we appreciate that as well. Don't forget, if you want us to talk about any topics, let us know. A special shout-out to Tad Herpoglu. I'm sorry about the Mets, man. It seems like you guys can't get a break. You know, met with Harvey going down, too. So anyway, there's still a lot of love for you guys in that instance. But as Rob mentioned, we are here every Tuesday. We'll talk to you guys soon. We're going to talk about the toughest schedules in college football. We may touch into some more NFL stuff because it is kicking off. It is what it's all about. We're finally here. See you guys next week.
Good night, people.
I always wait for Rob to say that because it just kind of sets it up too. So, wow, we are now officially into the OT portion of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And as we kick this off, I guess we'll talk about the topic that we have is the top 10 toughest college football schedules this season. So what do you think, sir? I know there's some squads that, you know, BCS, we'll see how it plays out. But what do you think as far as who's got the tough schedules here?
Well, I'm going to say the team that's got the toughest schedule in the country, and I know we have a lot of listeners in the Bay Area out there in California, I'm going to go with Cal Berkeley. the Cal Bears. And you look at their schedule, man, they have about seven teams that are currently ranked in the top 25. You look at Northwestern, Ohio State, Oregon, UCLA, Oregon State, USC, Stanford. And, I mean, that's going to be a tremendous schedule, and it's going to be hard for them to overcome that schedule to get into a bowl game. I mean, they don't quite have the personnel that those teams I just mentioned have, so I think it's going to be tough for them to win. If they can win two of those seven, they'll probably make it to a bowl game, but that's going to be tough going for the Cal Berkeley Bears. I'm going to say the team's got the second toughest schedule is the Tennessee Volunteers. They don't quite have the personnel that they used to have 10 years ago. You got an out-of-conference game against Oregon, and then you have your divisional games against Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina, and then you have your SEC West rival Alabama on the schedule. So it's not looking good for the Tennessee Vols either. Then I look at the Arkansas Razorbacks. You got your individual games with Texas A&M, Alabama, LSU, and then you have two of the stronger teams from the SEC East, Florida and South Carolina. You know, in the SEC now, you play at least two games from the other division, and Arkansas has got to play Florida and South Carolina, two of the three tougher teams in the other division. Then number four, I have Kentucky, and the same situation here. They're a lower bowl SEC team, but they got an out-of-conference game against a strong Louisville team. You got your three divisional games against Florida, South Carolina, and Georgia, and your out-of-division game against Alabama, so they draw one of the tougher ones from the other division in the SEC. Then I look at LSU, the tough schedule. You got an out-of-conference game against TCU. You have Georgia and Florida from the East, and you still have to play Alabama and Texas A&M. You know, it's going to Les Miles, the Mad Hatter, is going to do his work cut out for him as well. And you look at Stanford, UCLA, Oregon State, Oregon, USC. Then you got an out-of-conference game against Notre Dame. People talking about the SEC, the Pac-12 looks like the second strongest conference in college football this year. So if you're looking at a lot of these teams on this list, or SEC and Pac-12 teams. Another team that is going to run into a tough schedule, Florida. They got LSU, Georgia, South Carolina, out-of-conference game, Florida State, Purdue. It's got Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State. Then you look at Oklahoma. It's got Notre Dame, TCU, Texas, Oklahoma State. Can your favorite coach, Bob Stoops, overcome that? And
wow.
Then my 10th toughest schedule is going to be Missouri. They're still new to the SEC, and it's still going to be tough on them. They got Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and the old Big 12 conference foe, Texas A&M.
I like where your head's up, man. I'm going to throw another school that's going to have a pretty interesting schedule that could be pretty tough. You know, maybe South Carolina. I mean, you know, they got North Carolina, you got Georgia. You know, you got Vandy. You know, up. You know, they should handle these squads.
Yeah.
Not
yeah, Florida
easy, you know,
too.
USC, Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri. They're trying to stake their claim. They got Mississippi State, Florida, Clemson. It looks like the only soft team may be Coastal Carolina. Nothing against Coastal Carolina, obviously. But that's a pretty tough schedule.
Yeah,
for,
he's got something against Coastal Carolina.
But you know, obviously. These are all good schools, but I'm just saying this is going to be, you know, Steve Spurrier is going to get his coming back to him. You got to like Georgia. Georgia's got a pretty tough schedule. And I'm not saying tougher than the ones that you throw out there, Rob. I'm just saying this as far as, you know, some good.
Yeah, these are some
games,
honorable mentions.
Yeah. You know, because right now I'm kind of taking a peek at what they have. You know, they've got South Carolina, Clemson opening. They're at LSU. They got Tennessee. Tennessee's not quite there yet, too. So, you know, like I said, you know, they're still building. you know, upcoming Vanderbilt, you know, have they saw Florida yet? Auburn, you know, they're still kind of rebuilding. You know, we'll see what's going to happen with Gus Malzahn and the new thing, and Kentucky too. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out in that instance too. Real quick, I want to talk about Texas A&M, even though they're kicking off with a cupcake and rice. But, you know, they're not going to, you know, they got to go back to Alabama. I mean, is Alabama going to be ready for them? Yeah. You know, they got Arkansas. They got Ole Miss. They got Vandy. They got, once again, they got LSU, Mississippi State, and they got Missouri. So that's just another, you know, a pretty interesting schedule if you're kind of watching what's going on with them too. So not that I want to sit there and highlight a lot of stuff, but it is interesting to see how it plays out too. I do want to highlight one more school, Rob, and that's Missouri. So they were excited. They wanted to be play with the big boys, and they're getting the big boys schedule too, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely.
Missouri State, Toledo, you know, Indiana may not give them some challenges, but then they go right into Vanderbilt. They got Georgia. They got Florida. They got South Carolina. They got Kentucky. They got Tennessee. They got Ole Miss. And they have Texas A&M as well, too. So you talk about this is definitely big boy football. They're going to be right in this ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah, they have to come with it. Gary Pinkle.
Gary Pinkle. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, this is what it's all about. We're pretty excited. You mentioned a couple of schools, the Pac-12. You said that's the second toughest conference. I just got a call. I got a text from Urban Meyer. He's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, the Big Ten, man. That's, you know, peewee football.
And
it's boring,
too.
Watching paint dry is more exciting than watching Big Ten football. Now, Big Ten basketball is another story. Now, they're playing some good basketball in the Big Ten right now. But that Big Ten football, man, watching paint dry is more exciting than that.
Wow. The shot that just was called out across the bow. You want to email Rob about that, you certainly can. He'll answer any questions about that personally. Let's talk a little bit about Ohio State. I just got to mention them because, you know, Urban Meyer, he's coming back, getting the league set up. Word on the street, Rob, is that he may be the second hottest coach behind that Nick Saban, man. So, you know, what do you think about Urban Meyer? What do you think about Ohio State's chances? Not because I'm trying to, you know, cause any controversy, but we do have a ton of Ohio State fans because they tend to show up pretty well, Rob. So, what do you think about their chances as far as for this particular season?
Well, I think they have a great chance of making it to the national championship game. I really do, just for the simple fact that the schedule is weak. And I think they do have a pretty good football team. I think Brandon Miller is going to be great at the quarterback position. They have talent on their roster. And I think playing with a weak schedule is going to help them to propel them to the national championship game. And I think as of today, I would predict that they would be in the national championship game. But if they run into an SEC team, they're going to get demolished in the national championship game.
Yeah, they're going to have some trouble. There's a couple – I'm looking at their schedule right now, Rob. Cal, you know, we'll see if that's going to be a challenge for them. Wisconsin. Northwestern is up and coming. And possibly Michigan, too. I know Michigan played very well, too. So that's what you're looking for. Obviously, that's a rivalry game with Michigan. We'll see how it comes out. That's they're at Michigan in that instance. So we'll definitely see how that – how that plays out. As much as I hate to admit this or ask about this, what do you think about Notre Dame? What do we think about them? They're making their move to the ACC. They lost a lot of players. Everett Golston supposedly suspended due to some off the field incidents. Do they have enough to have a good season? Basically, is what I'm wanting to ask.
Well, I think they're going to have a good season. I don't think they're going to be in the national championship game again. I think they're going to struggle at the quarterback position a little bit this year. So I think they'll be great on defense, and they'll have a good football team. There's no doubt about it, but they won't be undefeated and playing for a national championship like they were on last season. I don't see that. And, I know they're getting ready to play against five ACC teams every year, but they're not actually competing in a conference. They're still being independent. And
yeah,
it's time for them to join a conference in football wholeheartedly and, you know, stop trying to operate as an independent.
I was just saying that too, Rob. I wasn't trying to act like I was trying to be special, but I was just curious as far as, you know, thoughts about them. I know they're definitely still independent. They don't want to they're like that woman that, you know, you want to date, but they don't want to commit. You know, it's just one of those situations where you're just trying to get frustrated with them too. So we'll see how that plays out. One more school that I want to mention, maybe we'll talk about it. There's actually two more, if you don't mind me. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, Rob. I want to talk about the Trojans, USC. What do you think about them? I know they have a pretty interesting schedule. We'll talk about Stanford, too. What do you think about their chances and also their rivals, UCLA?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think USC is starting to get the personnel that they used to get when Pete Carroll was the coach. But okay. I think UCLA is still going to win the Pac-12 South. I think Jim Mora is a better coach than Lane Kiffin. And he may not have the depth that USC has, but I think at the top they are, you know, better. Their team has a lot more chemistry. And I think UCLA will win the Pac-12 South. Obviously, I think Oregon or Stanford. I'm going to go with Stanford to win the Pac-12 North. And I'm going to go with Stanford to win the whole conference. And but I think UCLA is still a notch ahead of USC. But this will be the last year that's probably going to happen. I think USC will move past UCLA come next year due to talent.
I like where you're going with that too, Rob. Because I got to say, I'm looking at Oregon's schedule, and they have a pretty substantial schedule. And I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but they may have done this. It seems like this is on purpose because they don't want to – they're playing a lot of schools, not only from the ACC. They got a pretty good schedule. They're playing Tennessee, Rob. They're playing Virginia. They got, you know, Cal, obviously, Colorado, Stanford, Utah, Arizona, Oregon State. They're going to earn everything they have. They're basically trying to get the strength of schedule thing going on pretty quickly too, Rob. So I'm curious to see what your thoughts about the Oregon Ducks.
Well, I think offensively they're going to be extremely explosive. They're going to still run that same fast break offense that Chip Kelly ran. Still have the same offensive coordinator who was very much involved with the play calling there up in Oregon. So they're still going to run that fast break, exciting offense. And what you're seeing with Oregon is this. As far as they're scheduling opponents all over the country for one reason, is recruiting. They don't have the homegrown talent there in Oregon, so they have to recruit nationally to get elite playmakers to go there. And so they want to be as visible as possible with their scheduling and also with their national television appearances. And so that's key to their recruiting. Once again, they do not get the elite homegrown talent there in Oregon, so they need to be visible to get players to come there from around the country.
Gotcha. Got about 3 minutes left in the show. Are there any other schools?
It doesn't hurt that Nike kind of funds their program, too.
Doesn't hurt at all, man. That's why they have all those uniforms, too. That's kind of a fun school to go to. Any other schools you want to highlight, anything you want to post? We got about 2 minutes left in the show. Anything else you want to say as we get ready to set the stage for next week? Very excited, man. This was a fun show, if I do say so.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, we want to appreciate you all for tuning in to the show tonight. Make sure you join us on next Tuesday night. We'll be back the same time, same channel, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our good friends in Hawaii, aloha, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaii time on next Tuesday night. We look forward to you all joining us again. We're going to recap week one of college football, preview week two of college football, and also a preview week one of our NFL season on next week's show, so you don't want to miss it on next week. I know we have some listeners in Germany. That will be Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. for you all to join us again, and so we greatly appreciate you all continuing to tune into our show.
Yes, sir. As Rob mentioned, we are here back on our normal night on Tuesday, so hopefully we'll keep that going. We definitely want to do a couple of shout-out to our listeners. Thank you guys, as always. Don't forget, send us those emails, message us for those extra 5 spots. We're going to try to get this filled pretty quickly so we can have the draft next Wednesday. We appreciate the overwhelming response because that's great to hear that we had to create a whole new league. I think it's fun, too, to have us, you know, have some time to interact with listeners and keep it going, all that fun stuff, too. But without further ado, as Rob mentioned, we're going to talk NFL next week. We're going to get some recaps as far as college games. And we'll see if we have any upsets, Rob. I'm very excited about the next week.
Yep, it's looking good. Once again, those of y'all interested in joining fantasy football, send us your email so we can send you an invite. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in, and we are here. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you.